Well, it's all over. At least the election is. Although if you've seen your Sunday Times this morning, the cartoon on the front page of the Sunday Times has a polling station and a notice outside it saying, "Open every Thursday." That may not be as funny as it seems. We might very well have been hoping that life would now get back to normal. I suspect that given the number of votes we've had over the last 3 years, many are suffering from election fatigue and will be only too relieved for some semblance of normality. However, given the nature of the election result and the fact of the impending negotiations with the European Union, nothing going forward looks either normal nor certain. We live in times of great change and challenge, uncertainty and anxiety. The future is an unsettling and uncertain place, perhaps more so than usual. And in these circumstances, we may very well look for, long for, a degree of normality in which we can take hold of the familiar patterns, things and routines of life. There's nothing unusual in this. It is the natural human response to change and uncertainty. It was like that for the disciples at a time when life had taken them full circle back to where they started, to Galilee and fishing, back to plying their trade, working hard at what then and now would have been hard, dangerous work. There was no guarantee of success for all their efforts, as our reading this morning shows. It was full circle back to the place where they had first met him 3 years before, and where they had answered his call, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." It had been an interesting, exciting, adventurous, challenging 3 years. But now it was over, and so the disciples returned to the familiar, to their homes in Galilee and the familiar routine of fishing. He had said he would make them fishers of men, but how was that ever to happen now? So back they went to fishing for fish in the waters of Galilee. In times of bereavement, such as the disciples were experiencing, it can so often be the familiar routine, that sense of normality, that helps us through. It's a cliche to say life carries on, a cliche that may not be terribly helpful to those traversing the dark veil of death. But there is, as in many cliches, an element of truth, that the familiar things of life, the routines, the people, the daily activities can be the very things that get us through not only times of bereavement, but other times of difficulty, change, and trauma in our lives. That was how the disciples coped. They went back to what was familiar. They'd been told to go to Galilee. Matthew and Mark, in their account of the resurrection, tell us that the women went to the tomb and that they were sent back to the disciples with the message that Jesus had risen from the dead and would go ahead of them to Galilee, where they would see him. So it was to Galilee they returned, to the place where, for many of them, it had begun. And they waited. And while they waited and hoped they would see Jesus, Peter decided it was best to go fishing, to do something familiar. And it was absolutely in keeping with Peter's character to do that. Peter's the one who always leaps in, opens his mouth before he engages his brain, acts before he thinks. So he's the man of action, and he says to them, "I am fed up sitting here doing nothing. Let's go out. I'm going off fishing." And the others decide that they will go with him. And it's while they were employed in that familiar task that Jesus appeared to them. As Jesus so often meets us in the familiar things, places, and people of life. If our hearts and our minds are open to the possibility. At first, they didn't recognize him. Possibly because in their heart of hearts, they really weren't expecting to see him. He was just a man on the shore asking them if they had caught anything and directing them to where they might have better luck. When they did, their net was full, so full they were unable to haul it abroad. It was then that John recognized who this was and that Peter jumped into the water to get ashore as quickly as he could, forgetting the catch, leaving his companions to cope with the work. He was so desperate to get to Jesus. And there Jesus was on the shore, a fire burning with some fish already cooking and bread for breakfast, to which was added some of the new catch. It was more than the early light of dawn rising over the Golan Heights that the disciples found that morning. A beautiful sight, 5 o'clock in the morning on the Sea of Galilee, as the sun comes up over the Golan Heights on the far shore from Tiberias. But it was more than that. They saw a new light, that dawned in their lives, the light of the risen Christ, the light of spiritual understanding and awakening. In the final act of this part of the story, Jesus served the disciples breakfast. The master who commands them also serves them as he has done in the past. Yet another object lesson in the service required of those who would follow him. Another sign that Jesus is the servant king. In this appearance to 7 of the disciples, we see the characteristics of Jesus' ministry shown in John's gospel. His lordship, his servanthood, his character as gracious giver of abundance and his love. For us today, the story remains a potent symbol of our calling to be the followers of Jesus and what that means in our lives and the life of the church. For we are called to be the servant representatives of the servant king with all the challenges and opportunities that brings us. Here at Cults, you're about to enter a period of vacancy as Ewan, your much-loved and respected minister, retires after 12 years as minister at Cults and 35 years of service in the ministry. It will be for him and for Joan a time of great change and adjustment in their lives, following a lifetime of service in a role that is at one and the same time a great privilege, but also demanding of one's time, energy and resources, spiritual, emotional, physical. In the next few months, they and you are going to go through a period of loss. It is often said that a vacancy, the breaking of the bond between minister and people, can be akin to a bereavement. This will be a period of challenge for you, as you become accustomed to life without Ewan at the helm. It will be an uncertain time as the nominations committee, which we will shortly elect, looks for a new minister to serve at Cults. Please give them the space and time to do their work. Don't keep asking them how they're getting on because the process, by its very nature, has to be confidential. And if you do ask them how they're getting on, that answer, that question will probably be met with the time-honoured words, "We're doing as well as we can be expected." It's not only the medical profession that can come up with that answer. These next few months, and I hope it will be months, will be anxious ones for you, for there are no guarantees in today's church as to how long a vacancy will last, how many, if any, applications will be received, or how easy it will be to find the candidate whom the nominations committee feels is the person God is calling to serve him in this congregation and parish. But this will also be a period of opportunity for you, for a vacancy brings with it the opportunity for a congregation as a group of diverse people to come closer together, work together, serve together. For believe it or not, it isn't necessary for a congregation to have a minister to work effectively. There are many congregations across the country which have had prolonged vacancies, some for many years, with no hope that they will ever be in anything else other than a vacancy situation. But the work of the church in those places hasn't come to an end because there's not a minister. In fact, when you hear folk from some of these congregations speaking, you might wonder why we have ministers at all. Because some of them would say they've been getting on absolutely great without one. Because they've all had to step up to the mark and take on responsibility for things they had never done before, but which they have discovered they have the gifts to do. So it is a time of opportunity to come together more closely, to offer leadership, and to continue the worship, mission, and outreach of the church despite the absence of a minister. But there's one other thing we must take into account as we face the future and tackle the issues that vacancy raises, which we find in the symbolism of Jesus meeting with the disciples at Galilee. Jesus fed them. He met their physical need for breakfast after a night working on the Sea of Galilee. But in the sharing of fish and bread, he was also symbolically meeting their need to be spiritually fed. We are equipped for mission and service to the world when we allow Jesus to feed us with the spiritual food of his Spirit through our worship, through our devotional life of reading and prayer, through engaging with one another in study and discussion as we seek to understand better the Bible and the relationship we have with God in Christ. Last Sunday, as we know, was Pentecost. We had a wonderful time at Pentecost in the park. It was the day when we celebrated the fact that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and the church with power, enabling them to progress beyond all the doubt, fear, and uncertainty they had felt since Jesus' death. They were no longer the frightened, unsure, doubting bunch they had been, but now they went out into the world to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, of Christ crucified and risen with new hope, promise, and vision. In this impending time of vacancy, Cults Kirk will continue to reach out and serve the community. It will remain united and focused as it, as you, are open to the leading and vision of the Spirit. He will be at work through this vacancy process, in the work of the nominating committee, in the continuing work of the congregation. And it is the Spirit who will bring to the fore that person whom God is calling to be his minister here at Cults. Food for the body enables us to live our lives. Food for our souls enables us to live the life of faith, to live the life of Christ in today's world. That is what we are called to do. And that is what, with the Spirit's help, you will continue to do here at Cults during the vacancy and beyond.